Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to show you a few things about this star this evening. Star of Bethlehem, as some folks have called it. Matthew chapter 2. This star is, of course, a unique star in history, the most unique star ever. It is a great type of a Christian, and I think if for an object lesson, this is that's where we're going to head this evening. And I want to show you 6 points on this star. I don't have a whole lot on each point, but at least you'll get the idea. let's read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and just read a couple verses. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.'" I'll stop there, and we'll pray, and I'll talk about this star. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your words. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here this evening. And I do pray that everybody here would get what they need from you, Lord, that you would feed your flock, that Lord, we could see your words in a way maybe we hadn't thought about them before, that is something that's Holy Spirit-led and nourishment to our souls. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from you. I pray that, Father, that your Holy Spirit would have liberty to apply your words to our hearts. And Lord, thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for everybody that's here this evening. I pray you bless each soul for being here tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this star. It is a most peculiar star in history. lots of folks have speculation on astronomical events that were going on around Jesus' birth. I read a lot of that stuff and read of interpretations about, you know, how things were lining up in the constellations, and the star would be Jupiter or some sort of a heavenly body, and I guess to some degree it was, but you'd be hard-pressed, I guess, to find if Jupiter were visible or Venus is visible from Earth here. What house it would be pointing to whenever it finally landed over a house, because that's what this star does. It shows these wise men from the east that Jesus is born. And then, as we read on here, it directs them. It's visible to only a few people, apparently. And then it directs them to a specific particular house. And you'd be hard-pressed to look up in the sky and say, yeah, that star is pointing to this house. So I think the truth that the star was moving and leading and guiding and directing and sometimes visible and sometimes not visible and only visible to certain people, it's a most unique star in history. I'll tell you one of the things that I thought maybe it possibly was, because in the Bible, stars and angels are sometimes the same thing. In the Revelation, you've got Jesus Christ holding these 7 stars. He said he's holding 7 stars, and the interpretation of that in Revelation chapter 1 is the 7 stars are 7 angels. So that's one thing it could be. They're angels, or this thing is an angel. You've got, and you guys have heard this before, I'm sure, over there in California, you've got a place called Hollywood where you've got a row of stars, and that is in a place called Los Angeles, the city of angels. Angels and stars, I mean, even in the earth, in the world, they are put together as the same thing. And so it's possible that this star is an angel. It's possible. There's a lot of, I guess, other possibilities. I don't think it's a planet. I don't think it's a constellation. I get to reading some of these guys, and they're talking about when all these events take place, and sometimes their timing is off, and so it doesn't make sense. Anyway, but all that stuff, you can speculate on all the stuff that's not said about the star, but really what's not said is obviously not as important as what is said about it. And so what is said about it is the stuff that we can learn from. And obviously God thought it not important enough to explain a whole lot about it. The point is, what's not said is not really as important, obviously, as what is said. So all that, there are some things about this star that what the star did, and that is more important, what the star did, as to what the star was, really, or who it was, or anything like that. So let's focus on what it actually did, because that's what you're told is what it did. All right, the first thing about this star, there are 6 points on this star, 6 things that this star did that are really a good type of a Christian. And I'll tell them to you, and we'll go through them. And I don't have a whole lot of explanation, but I think you guys can get the points on all this stuff. The first thing this star did in verse 2, it heralded the King of the Jews. I thought it was interesting. These wise men, and we'll talk about the wise men on Sunday a little bit more. These guys, that's not an official title. It's just that it's the way God described them as wise men. They see this star in the east, and they follow this thing to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem, and they start talking to Herod, and they ask Herod about the King of the Jews. Obviously, Herod's threatened, but Herod doesn't have any idea about the star. He hasn't seen it. He doesn't know anything about it. And so when the wise men bring this up, it's something that is a shock to him. It's something he wasn't thinking about. And the Bible says in verse 3 that when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So it heralded the King of the Jews, and that's interesting enough that these wise men see this star, and they come to worship Jesus Christ. They understand that whoever is associated with this star is also associated with God somehow, and is associated with divinity, because that's what they are coming, the Bible says, to worship him. And so they bring gifts, and you see that later on here. But there are some things they understood in all this. They understood, I think, that salvation is of the Jews. That was something Jesus Christ said. Salvation is of the Jews, and meaning you and I have got to go to a Jew to get saved, Jesus Christ. They understood that whoever this King of the Jews is, he is not only important as a man, but he is important as God's representative. So they bring certain gifts, and the Bible says in verse 2, they came to worship him. This star identified and heralded God's final redemptive work, which would be God manifest in the flesh. It would be God taking on flesh and blood to perform a redemptive work of man. And that was the star heralding all that. The King of the Jews, and they understood this, the wise men did, at least they understood part of it enough to bring gifts and worship. So, first thing about this star, the star, the light, obviously it's a light, the light that heralded the King of the Jews. The second thing about the star, and as a type of a Christian, that is obviously a parallel or an application that you and I are witnesses. We are lights. We talk about it all the time, have our light shine, things like that, to herald Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. The second thing this star does is it poses a threat to the culture, which I thought was kind of interesting. When Herod hears about this thing, he's unaware of it, but when he becomes aware of it, the Bible says he's troubled, and not only is he troubled, but everybody in Jerusalem is troubled. So the entire city is sort of in an uproar, but they're set on edge about this thing, because there is a threat now to the culture, to what's going on here. And Herod's troubled, Jerusalem is troubled, but this star would herald the presence of this light. It would be a threat to the culture. It would herald the presence of Jesus Christ, who is always a threat to the old man and the old man's culture. And that's the thing. And again, we'll delve into Herod's life on Sunday too, I think. But that star represented a present threat to the king and the culture. And so you see the king not only troubled, but the entire city is troubled about what's going on here. So that makes you think this, we talk about, or you've heard, there's three wise men that show up. You know, I think someone was talking about this the other day. You got the little nativity scene, you got the three wise men, you know. Apparently, when these guys showed up to town, it was quite an entourage. It was a lot of people. It was enough people that showed up in town for a specific purpose to see the king that everybody in town knew what was going on, and they were scared about it. So this star not only heralded the king of the Jews, it posed, or it heralded, a threat to the current leadership and the culture. Another thing, and you know, that is the, I think, in the political scheme of things, I know we don't want to overthrow the government or anything, but that's what wicked folks in power are afraid of, is righteousness getting in charge. They're afraid of righteousness having authority to make decisions. And so it poses a threat to the culture, an existential threat to the culture. Anyway, all right, so the light threatened the culture. The light also, this star also did something interesting. It exposed religious hypocrisy. I think it's funny, when Herod hears about this thing, he doesn't see it, but he hears about this thing. He gathers up the chief priests and he asks them a question. You see that in verse 4 there. It says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." All right, so the chief priests, I won't go into all the, they kind of misquote Micah here, and there's some things we could say about that. But the bigger, another thing, or really a more important thing here, is when Herod demands an answer of these chief priests, they give him an answer that this king is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now watch what they do when they're dealing with Jesus Christ. Look over in John chapter 7 and verse 27. These guys are so two-faced. It's the same group of people here a few years later, but it's the same religious class of people. John chapter 7 and verse 26 for the context. It says, "But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." All right, that's the rulers talking about Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ shows up, that's one of the things they put on him, they discredit him with, is we don't know where he's from, we don't know where he's supposed to come from. But when Herod demands an answer, they give him an answer. They say he's coming from Bethlehem, but then whenever they're facing off with Jesus Christ, they say, we don't know where Christ is supposed to come from. Just two-faced. And so this light exposes some religious hypocrisy. Herod will do the same thing. I mean, he'll turn around, look in verse 7. Go back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7. Herod will, and after he gets an answer from these religious guys, then he turns to the wise men and he says this, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Of course, Herod doesn't want to worship him. But he gets the religious guys out of the room because he doesn't want to argue with them about worship. He doesn't want to argue with them about who's going to worship who. So he gets them out of the room and he asks these wise men. He says, now you guys tell me when this thing appeared. And you tell me whenever you find him that you come back and tell me where he is. That way I can go worship him. Obviously, he's not interested in doing that. But this light is going to, this star is going to expose this religious hypocrisy, not only the chief priest, but Herod here. And we'll talk more about that on Sunday. But that's another thing the light does. It exposes religious hypocrisy. Here's another thing it does. And this is interesting in all this. You know, the wise men see the light, they see the star from the east. So they are, who knows, in China, I don't know where they are, but they're far away. Yet, here are these folks close by, Herod and Jerusalem, and apparently they don't see the star. They can't see it. Another thing that happens on that night, that I think this may have some connection to what's going on, but there were some shepherds out that night. And there, the Bible says there was a light that shone around them, and there was an angel, and then there was a whole chorus of angels, and this light shone all around the angel, all around the shepherds, and then guided them to a manger, and apparently, they were the only ones that saw this thing. So, what is interesting about this light, or this star, is it is only seen by believing hearts. Unbelieving people don't see this thing. And there's a lot of application to that. Here's Herod. He's asking the wise men, you know, the Bible says diligently inquiring when the star appeared. But the light is only visible to believing people. That tells you about, as an application, it doesn't matter if you have a telescope, a microscope, or whatever scientific method you want to use. If you are not going to believe God, there is no way you're going to have revelation from God about Him. You're not going to see Him. There was a story about this astronaut, this cosmonaut. He goes up in space and he looks around and he says, "I don't see God." I mean, first of all, who cares? But if you don't believe God is there, if you already have this preconceived idea, it doesn't matter what you put in front of their face. There's not going to be any light there at all. So this star is very peculiar in that only believing people could see this thing. Herod didn't see it. Jerusalem didn't see it. Nobody else seemed to know about it. So the revelation, here's the point in this. The revelation was based on the heart attitude. It was based on what the heart was, where the heart was in relation to God. All right, so the star was only visible to believing people. It was invisible to folks who didn't believe. Herod never saw the thing. All right, another thing. It was a light, that star was a light that shepherded men to Jesus Christ. Look over there in verse 9. It says, when they had heard the king, so the wise men listen to the king, he gives them a little rundown. It says, when you find Jesus, or when you find this king here, this baby, tell me where he is so I can go worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, you try to say that's Jupiter or some constellation lining up. I didn't know constellation. That's something else. And this thing shepherded these men to the home where Mary and Joseph and Jesus are. And once they're there, I guess this thing disappears. It's gone. But it went ahead of them and shepherded them and guided them and showed him exactly where to go, and it stopped over the house in Bethlehem where Jesus was. So it was a light that, here's what it did. It was a light that shepherded men to Jesus Christ. All right, that is a great type of a Christian. A light that shepherds men to Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's the last one. That light was the source of joy because of the work that it did. Look in verse 10. When they, that's the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So that star, that light there, was a source of joy because of the work it did. These wise men rejoiced at that star. It was a refreshing star. It's like the Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. These wise men had heard good news from a far country, and so they came over to the far country, and they were refreshed. It was a joy to them. Just like the Bible talks about a joy in the presence of angels when a sinner repents, there's joy in the presence of angels. It's the testimony of, like the testimony of salvation, and the Spirit of God in you rejoices when somebody gets saved. Anyway, it was a joy to them. These guys had seen now the salvation of God, and that star had led them to him. So several things about that star, the points of the star there. It was a source of joy, lastly. It was a source of joy because of what it did for those wise men. So those six things, I think, are a great type, really, of a Christian. And you don't know that you never, I don't know, maybe you guys know more about this than I do, and you can find some more information on the star, but I think it's interesting that there's not a whole lot said about it other than the work it did. So you don't really know the identity of it, you don't know anything else about it, and the point was whatever this thing did was important to God, and that was why he wrote this thing down. And maybe it's an angel, maybe it's, who knows. It's obviously a light that guided men to Jesus Christ. It was a source of joy. It shepherded them. It caused a stir. And it did several things that, I guess, are a great picture and a type of a Christian in this world. So.